Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hillman. Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for listening tonight. Tonight, I invited an intuitive astrologer, Lynn Hay, to be on the show today. Her website is astrodynamics.net. She is the blog-related person on astrological musing on beliefnet.com, and she's come tonight to discuss the intent, the very intense and insightful transits that are going on in the skies these days. Lynn is available for personal readings on her website, and she will be taking calls. But first, before we open the lines, we want to welcome Lynn to the show. I really appreciate you staying up to be on the show.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks so much for inviting me.
It was very easy to do. I mean, I've been reading your blogs for a while, and it's just like, man, she's really good. I love the way she writes. She's probably going to be a great guest. Let's ask.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, a little bit about you. How did you get into astrology? What do you get from it? What, you know, how do you serve your clients using it? Because I know you do tarot readings as well, or other kinds of readings.
I do. I like to include the tarot for more specific questions, but I've been an astrologer since the early 80s, but I have loved astrology since I first saw the first chart that I ever saw, which was back in the 60s, actually, when I was in college. So that sort of dates me, I know, but I just fell in love with the symbolism and the chart. It just felt so magical to me, and then when I actually started to meet astrologers, which I did in the early 80s after I moved to North Carolina, I had met Steve Forrest, who a lot of people know.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to live in the same town as Stephen, and he became my first teacher. And then from there, it just sort of blossomed.
Well, you had a master teacher, didn't you?
I was very lucky. That's right. That's right. So from there, then I started reading a lot of books by Liz Green, who is a psychological astrologer in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a strong interest in psychological astrology, which is where we look at the birth chart to see what the underlying psychological makeup of the person is. And that way we can see how we can maximize the different characteristics that we're given. So instead of just being doomed to have certain experiences, we can actually work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then my work sort of evolved into a more alchemical process, if you will. So there's more of a transformational flavor now.
Now, since you look at the psychological, I mean, do you look a lot at the North Moon or Pluto, or is there any particular setup of the planets that you really focus on within somebody's chart?
Well, I work with the whole chart. I don't work a lot with the asteroids, but I do work with Chiron.
Ah.
And there's a lot of debate as to whether Chiron is an asteroid or a planetoid. But it's very strong in my work, and it has to do with healing. It has to do with transformation, and it has to do with wisdom. So for a person on a path of spiritual transformation, it's a very powerful planet. But I use all of the other planets. They're all very important. I work with Uranus, which is a planet that is encouraging us to live a life that's true and authentic. And then there's Neptune, which is teaching us about spiritual connection. And then there's Pluto, which is about transformation. You know, Pluto rules death and rebirth. And all of us have been experiencing a big Pluto time because Pluto just shifted into a different sign last year. When Pluto shifted into Capricorn, it had a big effect on our economy, which I think is something that you wanted to talk about.
Yes. Speaking of the outer planets, they're all in retrograde right now. Let's just get right to it, Lynn.
We're okay, Jennifer.
I mean, we've got some major planets, and I always think of the outer planets are the ones for transformation, going within, the spiritual aspects, you know, the heart of the matter in many ways. And they're all in retrograde now, so this is really a time of going within and transformation, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's a peculiar thing. I actually looked back to the 1970s, and ever since the 1970s, so that's over 30 years, the outer planets retrograde in the summer. So all of the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, all retrograde for 5 months or so every year. So it's not really an unusual thing. It happens every year. And let's go over what it means when a planet is retrograde, because the planets obviously are not turning backwards. They don't actually orbit backwards, but we do look at the planets from our perspective on Earth. And so astrology is not astronomically correct. So when we look at the planets from Earth, sometimes they appear to change direction and start to move backwards. And we do call that retrograde. And when the planets are moving backwards, they affect us on a more internal level usually. The area of life that is ruled over by that planet
mm-hmm.
is affecting us on a more personal level. There's less outer progress and there's more inner work. So sometimes it can be frustrated. About 3 years ago, there were 7 planets retrograde. There was Saturn. All the planets were retrograde at the same time. And it was just an incredible, it was back in 2007 in the summer. Some of you might remember
mm-hmm.
that year. And it was very difficult to get anything done. That can be frustrating unless you work with the energy of the planets, and then we realize it's a very good time for turning within, for doing internal work, for contemplation of what's going on below the surface, of what we're internalizing. So at the moment, really, we have Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune that have all been conjunct. They've been traveling together for the last several months, and that's one big cycle that we'll talk about. That's a big cycle of healing from the soul level. The soul is actually calling to us now. So many people are having experiences of deep soul memories, you know, past life memories, memories from early childhood. I had one man write me to say that he was suddenly re-experiencing an event that he hadn't even thought about since he was 5. So this is the kind of thing that's happening right now with this big Chiron-Neptune conjunction.
So it really is a huge healing and life review.
Yes, exactly. So I'd like to talk a little bit about Chiron and what Chiron does, if I can.
Oh, please do.
So Chiron is a really amazing little planet, and it has to do with healing and holistic health. So it was actually discovered in 1977, and if you think back to the 1970s, that was a time when the whole area of holistic healing was really just bursting out into the public consciousness. Certainly holistic medicine was around in ancient times, but for a long time, science has really prevailed, and the whole concept of body-mind-spirit balance was really out of favor until the late 1970s when Chiron was discovered. And it's an interesting thing about astrology that when a new planet is discovered, there is sort of an eruption of the affairs of that planet into the mass consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So in the late 1700s, when Uranus was discovered, there was this revolutionary fervor. And, of course, Uranus rules change, radical new ideas, And that's what we saw in the late 1700s. Then in the 1800s, I think it was around 1860, but I actually don't have that in front of me, Neptune was discovered. And there was this rise of spiritualism and seances, and suddenly people were going beyond religious ideas into a sense of direct experience of spirit, which is what Neptune teaches. And then in 1930, when Pluto was discovered, of course, the atomic bomb was invented, and then we had Hitler, and then we had the collapse of the economic system. So that was another, you know, powerful eruption, if you will, into mass consciousness. But with Chiron, there's a need to balance the body, mind, spirit, energy system. So there's this real sense that everything in our psyche and our spirit and at the soul level and in the energy field is all connected. So when we're talking about health, you know, there's not just a question of, oh, you know, I'm sick, so I need to go to a doctor and have surgery, or I need to have medicine. Essentially, something within us is out of balance. So what Chiron does is Chiron plants a wound in all of us. Everybody has one. And it's like a stone in the shoe, is the way I like to think of it. It reminds us that we are more than just physical beings. We're spiritual beings, and we're here to have an experience of being a spiritual being in a human body, and all of that entails, all that entails. So when we have a transit of Chiron, generally what happens is Chiron comes through and it reveals old wounds that have not been healed. Because we tend to seek pleasure and avoid pain, if we have a wound that hasn't healed, we try to ignore it. We try to put it in the past. Chiron wants to bring all of that, any undigested psychic material, you know, emotional material, bring it up to the surface so that it can actually be healed. And that's what we're doing with this cycle right now.
Now, with Chiron hitting, being kind of touched with Neptune and Jupiter, how is that, I mean, they're basically touching each other, aren't they?
Yes, they're all conjunct within 1 degree. That started, well, they've been moving towards that conjunction. Certainly Chiron and Neptune have been moving towards that really since last summer, but certainly since February. So that's been, you know, those two have really been merging, and they came together within 14 minutes. So that's about as tight as you can get without being right on top of each other at the end of May. They both retrograded within a day of each other, Chiron and Neptune did, and now they're traveling, still they're traveling together.
Right.
So those two are going to be very tightly converged until the end of July and even into early August. Now Jupiter is going to start moving away because Jupiter moves a little more quickly. So we're going to start to see Jupiter pull away in early July. Jupiter will be 3 degrees away by the end of July. So, but we're still going to have that Chiron-Neptune. So with Chiron and Neptune, we have the exploration of the spiritual wound, which is what Chiron has to do with. And then we have Neptune, which is the call of the soul. So with Neptune, you know the siren song that they talk about in old mythology?
Mm-hmm.
That's like what Neptune does. Neptune is calling us to return to the soul. So in doing that, Neptune likes to sort of dissolve a lot of the practical things in our life. And that can sometimes be confusing and create some destabilization for people, especially if they don't know what's happening. Now, this conjunction is most powerful if it's actually aspecting something in your chart. So if it's connecting to a planetary system in your chart, it's going to be more powerful for you individually.
Now, are they both in Aquarius now, or what are they in?
They're all in Aquarius. They're all in Aquarius right now. So Aquarius has to do with innovation. Aquarius has to do with electromagnetic energy, change. It has to do with moving through different experiences, learning from them, and then moving past them. You know, Aquarius is about social justice and fairness, but it also has to do with becoming a more ideal human being. So there's a sense of transpersonalization with Aquarius, where we're letting go of a lot of the blocks that are keeping us in bondage, you know, to our personality. So it's not that we ever want to numb ourselves to our personality, but with Aquarius, there is a calling to go beyond personality,
mm-hmm.
experience the community of man, you know, compassion for all beings. So especially with Neptune, because Neptune is the planet of divine compassion, that call to spirit gives us a sense of love and devotion for everything, you know, for the world at large. Neptune is really the Christ consciousness, so there's that sense of surrender, you know, there's a sense of aligning ourselves with God, with Neptune. So that's a, you know, it's a powerful alignment, and I think it's easiest for people that are on a path of transformation. I worked with a client today. It was so great. She's in the middle of this incredibly challenging planetary time. She's got all the planets are working on her at once. And she's really excited because she's seeing it as a vehicle for the transformation that she wants to have happen at a soul level, at a cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
People that are on a path that can embrace this idea, it is an incredibly exciting time. For people that are living on a level that is more, you know, sort of here's what's in front of me, it can be a scarier time because there's a lot of emotions that are floating around that we need to be able to work through. With Chiron, there's a necessity to revisit these old wounds, and it's really a shamanic experience. So we're really actually walking through the fire of that experience. Walking through the fire of that old, you know, let's say there was an old sexual trauma that happened when we were young that we have forgotten about, and maybe now it's erupted into our conscious mind. It can be overwhelming, but we
mm-hmm.
can't stuff that genie back in the bottle. We need to allow it. And of course, many people are going to need to have some professional help with this. I'm not suggesting by any means that, you know, this can be done on your own. Necessarily,
right.
So there's a big disclaimer there. But, and it is a really, it's a very good time for psychological work, but
mm-hmm.
it's important that we work with somebody that understands the spiritual component as well. So there is a shamanic part of this process that involves, you know, transmutation of an experience that holds a lot of energy for us, holds a lot of pain. And then as we move through that experience, we are released from it. And all of that energy that we've been holding in that experience is then available to us. You know, we feel energized. We gain more wisdom. We start to connect even more with the depths of our spiritual understanding so that we can really help others in a way that's more profound.
So, with Jupiter hitting on it right now, is it really helping to expand those inner hidden wounds?
Yes. Now, see, this is the thing about Jupiter. We like to think of Jupiter as being very beneficial. And in the ancient astrologers called Jupiter the greater benefic. Venus was the lesser benefic, and Jupiter was the greater benefic because it was thought to always bring good fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And Jupiter can bring opportunity and good fortune. It makes us feel good when we have a transit of Jupiter. If we have Jupiter well aspected in our chart, we can often be very lucky. So, and in fact, I'm looking at the transits for today, and actually, you know, the three of them are really tightly conjunct.
Right.
So, but the other thing about Jupiter that we need to remember is Jupiter expands whatever it comes into contact with. So when Jupiter is expanding this Chiron-Neptune dynamic, it can expand the pain and make it more accessible to us, which I think is what you, I think is exactly what you were saying, is it does make it more accessible to us so that we can open those doorways a little more easily. The challenge there is that it can also be very painful for people who are experiencing some emotional pain from this. I had three clients in one day. This was so odd how this happens. Three clients in one day had been recently had a large number of deaths in their life. Like one woman had 9 deaths in the last year, which is a lot
wow.
of people who die that you're close to. And she was not able to stop crying. So for her, it was not only this experience that she had a lot of deaths, which she was also having a Pluto transit, which is when we often have contact with death.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also, it wasn't only those people that she was mourning for. She was actually, this was all of the mourning that she had ever done in her whole life was coming up at this time. So, you know, having a better understanding of how, why this was happening really helped her to feel that she wasn't just, you know, she was a little afraid that she was having some sort of a mental breakdown, but really there's just an opening here.
And right.
Anytime there's an opening, there's an opportunity for us to become more connected with our deep self that's truly anchored within us, that's the real, our real spirit, you know, who we really are deep within.
Do you feel that, I mean, I've just noticed that there's been a lot of people dying lately. It's like a massive exit has opened up recently, and unusual deaths.
Yes. Well, and we see this with celebrities. On my blog, I like to cover celebrity astrology because it does give us a window into the way that people operate. You know, there's such a variety of human experience, and with celebrities, we have an opportunity to really take a look. Like the death of David Carradine was one very interesting.
Lynn, you need to speak up. I can barely hear you.
Okay, is this any better here?
That's a little better. Yes, it's much better.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have the microphone hooked right up to my mouth here. So I was just saying that the death of David Carradine provided some interesting fodder for us to take a look at. But I think there are a lot of people that seem to be leaving right now, and I think, you know, I don't really want to venture a guess at why, but I think there's also a lot of people that have come. At this time, we are heading into a period of tremendous change. And I'm not just talking about 2012, because 2012 doesn't really have anything to do with astrology. There are some correlations between the astrological cycles and the end of the Mayan calendar, but they're more accidental than intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mayan calendar is supposed to end at the winter solstice in the year 2012, so that's December 21st, 2012. Now, during that time, there's a big planetary cycle that's happening, which is the square of Uranus, the planet of revolution and radical change, to Pluto, the planet of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
That cycle, this is the opening square, so it's like in a lunar cycle, this would be equivalent to the first quarter moon of a cycle that started back in the 1960s when Uranus and Pluto were conjunct. So if you remember the 60s, and I don't know if you're old enough, but I'm sure you've read about it, but in the 60s there was this tremendous social revolution and tremendous cultural change that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really fostered by this conjunction of Uranus and Pluto. So beginning in 2011, and actually leading up to that, there's a lot of planetary transits that will really be starting in November of 2009 that are going to be leading up to this change. And there's going to be a lot of conflict, I believe, and I am not a person who likes to instill fear, so whatever I say, I want to be careful that, you know, nobody takes it the wrong way and mm-hmm. that people don't become fearful. But I think it's useful to see what's coming, and we're starting to see this already. We will be seeing a lot more individual groups, smaller splinter groups, the kind of domestic terrorism that we've seen over the last couple of weeks with the mm-hmm. death of the abortion doctor and the shootings in the Holocaust Museum. Because Uranus, the revolutionary, is in Aries, which is the sign of the warrior. So mm-hmm. This isn't going to be big international wars. It's not going to be a war necessarily between, say, Israel and Iran. This is going to be wars between different people in the same country. This is going to be wars between the poor and the rich. Now, there's going to be groups of militias possibly taking up arms. This is what we're going to be seeing. So it's a period of great change, and I think whenever we go into a cycle like that, there are groups of people that then just, you know, perhaps decide to leave. We've also seen this whole new breed of children that a lot of people are calling the indigo children, and I think there's a lot of different types of children, but their brains are operating differently, and this is a whole other subject that that I think does have a lot to do with Aquarius and with the Aquarian age that we're moving into. We're definitely, you know, in the time period where we're shifting into the age of Aquarius. Aquarius has a lot to do with electromagnetic energy, and these autistic kids, their brains are wired differently. A lot of people are starting now to say that these children are not necessarily defective, you know, that we need to start looking at them as perhaps just having brains that work differently and that maybe can teach us something. So I know I'm sort of branching out here to a lot of different subjects. But
that's fine. It's in a sense, I grew up being dyslexic. So it's like I think differently. But
right.
I appreciate that. I might have had some difficulties in school because they really had a certain structure that didn't quite fit me. But I was able to adjust it in such a way that I worked within their structured in some ways, but I also was outside the box.
Oh, right, right.
So I think that's kind of like what the indigos and the crystals, they're trying to open us up to think outside the box.
Well, I think that's really true. And the autistic children, too, there have been studies, and I like to cover this sort of thing on my blog as well. There have been studies recently that have shown that a significant percentage of autistic kids have special skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sort of idiot savant that they've talked about for a long time that was depicted so well in the Rain Man movie.
Right.
Know? And that maybe this is what we're moving towards, more of a specialization of the brain. So I think we're really having to let go of a lot of our concepts right now about what life is. I find it very interesting, and here again I'm sort of changing subjects completely, but I'm finding it very interesting that over the past 10 years or so, so many people have taken up yoga.
Yes.
Because yoga starts to open up the higher centers. And the more yoga you do, the more connected you are to different levels of consciousness. And I think people are beginning to have more of an ascended experience who maybe in previous times would not have had those experiences. So it's a really amazing time. And that's why I really don't like to foster fear, because fear is just what we create.
Right.
You know, they say false appearances. What is it? False evidence appearing real is what
right.
the anagram for fear. But I think it's important to have a sense of what's coming. Astrologers have been talking about this economic collapse for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Can I sort of move into that area?
You sure can.
Okay. So Pluto just entered Sagittarius entered Capricorn in January of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Previous to that, for 13 years, Pluto was in Sagittarius. Now, Pluto is a planet, you know, it is still a planet, by the way, and astrologers just laugh when people ask us, is Pluto
yes.
still a planet? Because Pluto is such a powerful guy. Pluto is it's the most powerful of all the planets in its effect. When you have a Pluto transit, you really know it, because your life is going to change, there's no doubt.
Yes, I know it well. My son is Sagittarius.
Okay. So Sagittarius is the sign of expansion and of mm-hmm. opportunity and optimism. It's ruled by Jupiter. Sagittarius likes everything big. So when Pluto, and the sign that Pluto is in sort of defines the attention of the masses. So when Pluto was in Scorpio, for example, we had the AIDS epidemic, which is death by sex, and of course, Scorpio rules sex and death. We also had the sort of buried memory syndrome that was happening, and a lot of revelations of sexual abuse, and of course with Pluto in its own sign of Scorpio, there was this whole sense of digging up the secrets, you know, digging up the dark secrets, because Pluto is the god of the underworld and likes to get in there and,
mm-hmm.
you know, uncover things. When Pluto went into Sagittarius in 1995, it started this huge expansion of the stock market. There was an expansion of housing, you know, the size of the average house ballooned under Pluto and Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had all of these stock market bubbles. Now, the United States is prone to bubbles anyway, because Sagittarius is rising in the chart for the United States. So we do have a tendency, you know, there's sort of that rugged optimism that's the hallmark of this country. And so this country is particularly prone to bubbles that then burst, because there's such optimism. And that's why, even though this sort of global optimism and the rise of the stock market occurred everywhere, the balloon was far bigger in the U.S. than in other countries. So when the bubble burst, when Pluto went into Capricorn, which it did in January of 2008, it hit the U.S. hardest.
Mm-hmm.
The countries that were the most heavily invested in the U.S. are the ones that have been hit the most. But so after this period of expansion with Sagittarius, Pluto went into Capricorn, which is the sign of hard work, success, discipline, but also restriction. With Capricorn, there's a sense of contraction. So this really began, and I don't want to get too involved, and I don't know how much detail you need, but let me just introduce this one other idea, which is Saturn, which has been in Virgo since the fall of 2007. Virgo is the cautious sign. You know, Virgo is the sign of details, and Virgo is very thrifty. So when Saturn went into Virgo, all of a sudden there was this tendency towards, wait a minute, maybe we better be more thrifty. Maybe we better think more about, you know, healthcare. Where is our money really going?
Mm-hmm.
That began the sense of contraction that then when Pluto entered Capricorn in January, that contraction really hit. Now, if you look back at 2008, I believe it was in April, Pluto retrograded, right, and moved back into Sagittarius. And at that time, people were saying, oh, boy, the recession is over. Now everything is going to be fine. But, of course, as astrologers, we knew it was only temporary. And then in August and September of last year, when Pluto moved back into Capricorn, that's when it really hit the fan. That's when we really had the collapse. So we can, you know, a lot of what astrology is useful for is for our own personal work. You know, it can describe the cycles that we're going through so mm-hmm. that we have a better sense of why we're experiencing what we're experiencing. It can give us a sense of timing so that we know, yeah, this is a hard time, but by next February it'll be behind us or whatever that particular time frame is. But on a global level, too, it can really give us a clue about the cycles, the bigger cycles that we're going through as Earthlings.
So with that, you know, I'm going to go ahead, if you don't mind, Lynn, and open the phone line. So if anybody has, do you want just general questions?
Whatever people want.
Whatever.
Fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, the phone lines are now available. If you want to call and ask Lynn a question, the number is 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. If you have a question for Lynn, hey, please call in and ask your question. I always thought of Pluto in Capricorn is a time of restructuring everything from the bottom up.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are needing it after blowing up, you know, spending their credit to way over the limits. And it's like kind of reevaluating, okay, where things are, where my life is. So I'm actually looking forward to Pluto in Capricorn just to find a more solid foundation, because I think everything, at least for me with the Pluto in Sag, it kind of changed my perspective on things in very strange ways.
I completely agree. Everybody around me was, you know, buying lake houses. I mean, people were doing these insane things, buying huge houses, and then when you're surrounded with all of that, it's so easy to think, well, gee, I want that, you know, I want
right.
that big car, I want that vacation home, when really, you know, we don't need those things, but there was this sort of frenzy, and of course credit is based on faith, which is a very Sagittarian thing, and all of this growth was based on credit, and that's why it all sort of fell apart, because it wasn't really based on anything that's real, and Capricorn is about, you know, Capricorn is the builder, so it's about building a structure that will last. And with Pluto, there's always a breakdown phase,
mm-hmm.
and when we have a Pluto transit, a lot of times before the transformation can happen, you know, there needs to be a death of something, an ending of something, and then as you said, you know, restructuring, that's the perfect word for what we're seeing. So, yeah.
Go on.
Well, so all in all, this is going to be a much healthier time that we're going into now with Pluto and Capricorn. It's going to be difficult, but when it starts to rebuild, there's going to be solid ground underneath our feet.
Great. Then we do have James on line two. James, are you there?
James from Canada. I'm just calling. I have
James?
A question about my... Yep.
Okay. Thank you for calling. What's your question?
I have a question about my astrology, just what my outlook for this year is going to be like. I'm a Pisces.
Okay, James, what's your birth date?
My birthday is March 14th.
What year?
1989.
Okay. Now, this is something that usually takes about an hour, but we're going
okay.
to condense it into about 2 minutes for you.
No problem.
So, so you have the sun in Pisces, and you actually have had kind of a double whammy of Saturn in the sky and Uranus in the sky have both been transiting both your Sun and Venus. So this has been kind of a challenging time for you.
It has.
Yeah, I'm sure. But the good news is, so it's tricky to have those two planets together because Saturn creates restriction and Uranus wants us to break free. So you've had both of those. You probably have been feeling a little bit schizophrenic. So the restriction part is going to be over for you by September. That expansive part then, though, is going to still be in effect. And after that time, you're going to be much better able to move forward in your life. You've also probably had a little bit of depression. Saturn's been making a square to your moon, and that is...
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I was just completely agreeing with you. You're dead on.
So that'll be passed you by the middle of August. And without having your birth time, I don't really have any other specific information. So I hope that's been helpful for you.
That's been completely helpful. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you so much, James, for calling in. Now we have John from Connecticut. John, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing this evening?
Just fine. How are you doing, John?
Real good. Thank you. My question dealt with the solstice energies. Now, I might have missed some of it because I didn't tune in right away tonight. I'd arrive home later. But does this open up a doorway, or did you cover that on the show this evening already on the solstice?
Not yet.
No,
but thank
not
you for
yet.
Bringing that up.
So the solstice actually occurs at the moment that the sun enters the sign of Cancer. And this particular solstice is going to be very interesting. First of all, I'm starting my own radio show.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Not on BBS Radio because I just heard of it, but it'll be on Blog Talk Radio. So the information's on my website, but at any rate, this particular solstice is very powerful because the sun and the moon at that time are also going to be nearing a conjunction, and it's going to be a new moon that is opposed by Pluto, the planet of transformation. So there's going to be a lot of energy packed into this solstice. And for a lot of people, the chart for the solstice, which is actually, it's called the Cancer Ingress chart because it's the chart for the moment that the sun enters Cancer, which is one of the seasonal portals. And for a lot of people, a lot of astrologers use that chart to make predictions about the weather in certain areas for that season. And I believe the Farmer's Almanac uses some of that information as well. So
sure,
this is going to be a very powerful solstice. Now, it's not equally powerful for everybody. And that's one thing I just want to emphasize is that these sorts of planetary events are most important or most have the strongest effect if they're actually aspecting something in your chart. But certainly a new moon that is opposed by Pluto, there's an opportunity for a new beginning that can transform our lives here and certainly transform the season. So it's gonna be a fun weekend.
Yes, it is. Now, what is the degrees of the sun and moon?
The sun and moon are gonna be at 1 degree Cancer.
Oh, okay. Well, that.
And Pluto is gonna be at 2 degrees Capricorn.
Ouch.
So there's
there's
a strong sense of initiation here.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yes.
So, John, do you have another question or any comments on the solstice?
Well, I just believe that with the with Chiron and Neptune in this alignment also, that it also is a date that many people spiritually are looking for. It has a profound implications in manifestation and the opening of dimensional portals.
Well, I completely agree. And any time we're dealing actually with Chiron and Uranus, we are opening those portals. And your point is a good one, that the triple conjunction, the big three I'm calling them, is embedded in the chart of the solstice. So it's a part of the energy that we'll be carrying for the next few months.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good information. Personally, for myself, with a 1-6-52-5:20 a.m. Birth date, is there any short thing you could add to that?
1-6-1952, and tell me the time again, please.
5:25 a.m.
And where was
that? Central Wisconsin. I was born in.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick look here. Oh, I'm having technical issues here.
It happens.
Let's take a quick look.
Well, then, just so you feel better about the situation, one time I accidentally pressed my mute button and didn't know it, so nobody could hear me, and I didn't realize I had pushed the mute button.
That's hilarious.
So it's fun to be live.
That is.
Well, that was the date of the epiphany, so I may have one for that date, I guess.
No, I've got John up here. So, John, you have a Sagittarius ascendant, even though... Now, see, John's an interesting example because John's got the sun in Capricorn, so he has that very business-like, practical aspect to his personality. His moon is in Taurus, so he's very earthy in that way. But then he has a Sagittarius ascendant. This is 5:25 a.m., John?
Yes.
So the Sagittarius ascendant gives him this persona of being sort of cheerful and outgoing and expansive, and that's very different than the core, you know, personality here. Now, Saturn has been transiting your ascendant. All these people are having Saturn issues. Saturn has been square to your ascendant, and that has been creating probably some restriction and maybe a sense of being blocked from doing some things that you want to do, possibly problems in relationships. And that,
well, I feel like we're kind of like in a hold, all of humanity at this certain point a little bit, somewhat. But, you know, that's why I'm looking so forward to the solstice, because it opens up that timing for wonderful intentions and working with the energies more consciously.
That's right. It sure does. You've had a big trine of Jupiter to Mars in your chart. So this is, you know, there's some restriction for you, but there's also a big opening as well.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you. That was very interesting.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, John.
Okay, you're quite welcome, and you both have a wonderful night tonight.
Thank you very much. Well, I think we have Helene on line two, but Helene, we are just about out of time. Oh, 5 minutes. Okay. Helene, you got one quick question, then we can do the question. Otherwise, I'm going to ask you to, are you going to take calls on your show?
Yes, Lynn? I will be. Yes, I will. And so my show is Sunday. Is it okay to give a blurb?
Oh,
about
please
my
do.
Show? My show is going to start on the solstice and the new moon. I thought it was a good time, and it's square to my Mars, so it ought to be interesting. And my show will start Sunday at 10 o'clock Eastern time in the morning. So that'll be 7 Pacific. And the information will be on my website, which is www.astrodynamics.net.
Which is a very cool name.
Well, thank you.
I love that name.
I wanted to get across this idea of a dynamic approach to astrology. You know, a lot of people tell me, oh, I had a reading from somebody and they just told me that I was doomed, you know, I was doomed to failure. And none of us are doomed. This is a more dynamic approach. And did Helene have a question that we needed to
ask? Oh, I do.
I'm checking. Oh, okay. Hi, Helene.
Hello.
What's your question?
I'm 3 degrees Cancer. My birthday is June 25th. I have a grand trine water. Uranus is conjunct my sun. Any advice for this solstice, what it's going to mean to me personally?
Your sun is at 3 degrees Cancer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Pluto's right on your sun, or Pluto's opposite your sun right now. So this is a big time of transformation, and the new moon is sitting within a couple of degrees of your sun.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really good time to let go of something that you've been holding on to and moving forward. Because that's what Pluto really does. Pluto, if we lose anything under a Pluto cycle, and Pluto's sort of famous for loss and tragedy, but if we lose something and something is taken from us, there's an opportunity for us to become newly empowered in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there's something that we no longer need. So this is it's a good time for you to let go of something that you no longer need and to move into something new.
Thank you.
So it's a good time to enter with intention, Helene.
Okay. Thank you. And I don't know if you have time, but with the Uranus conjunct my sun.
Well, I would need to know.
Oh.
So Uranus is at what degree, do you know?
5 degrees Cancer.
So so it's definitely within range. And again, that's the start of something new. You know, Pluto is not conjunct Uranus in your chart yet, but because your Sun and Uranus are conjunct in your chart within a couple of degrees, when Pluto hits one of those planets, it's actually working on the whole system. So this is really a time for you to have a brand new beginning here.
Mm, super.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy. Now again, you know, this is just a 2-minute snapshot.
Helene, our time is running out really quickly. So I'm going to suggest if you have more questions, you listen to a wonderful new show that's coming on at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. I'm sure it's going to be an awesome program, and I do thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Helene.
So, how long have you been writing for BeliefNet.com real quick?
Well, I started my blog in the fall of 2005. My sister is a political blogger, and I thought, well, this would be a great thing because a lot of times, you know, I'm just interested in things from an astrological perspective. Like when someone dies or when somebody does something crazy, what's going on in their chart?
Right.
So, you know, I started the blog as an opportunity to just sort of discuss this, and in the fall of 2007, BeliefNet, contacted me about running my blog there, and I didn't really want to do it at the time. I thought I would lose some of my autonomy, but then they contacted me again last year, and I thought, well, this might be a good idea, and it has been great.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a wonderful experience, and it's given me a lot of great exposure that I'm really happy about.
So our time is up, so I thank you very much for being on. You were as awesome as I thought you would be. Again,
Jennifer, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Again, Lynn Hay has a new radio program. It is starting this Sunday on the solstice at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. She also has a wonderful website where she is available for personal readings, which I'm sure she's awesome. I'll be contacting her myself. on astrodynamics.net. So please check her out, get a reading from her. She's awesome. Listen to her this Sunday and every week on Sunday. It's every week on Sunday or just once a month? How often is your show?
It'll be every week. Now, I think at the beginning I can only do maybe 3. I'm not sure. But my goal is every week on Sunday morning.
I'm looking forward to it. So again, thank you very much. And next week,
my pleasure.
Next week, Pam, Divine Dimension is coming back to read Auras. She is awesome. She's been on the show a couple of times. So get ready to call in next week. Ask her your questions on your aura. Until then, this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations.